I want to begin with a prayer. I added to my Bible reading, daily Bible reading, another plan that is called Prayers of Faith Over Fear. And I started that plan this morning, and I'm going to just read you the prayer because I think it's meaningful, I think it's powerful, because many are dealing with fear even today, right? What's going on now, what's going to happen? And we've been talking about a little bit about that down to the weeks and so on. It's a reality. Some just can't shake that, and maybe that's you. And I just want to share the prayer that I read this morning. I'm going to read it to you, but I'm going to encourage you to internalize this. So whether you're home or here in the auditorium, you can make this your prayer, and you might want to just open up your hands, but for sure open up your heart, particularly if you're dealing with in this area of fear and trusting Jesus for everything. It just goes like this. I'm just going to share it. Lord, when my faith is weak, I'll trust in you. You are faithful and constant, and you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. I may grow tired and weary. I might even stumble and fall, but I will hope in you, and my strength will be renewed. For you give strength to the weary and increase the power of the weak. With your help, I'll forget what is behind and strain toward what's ahead. God, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which you have called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. I'm confident that the work you began in me will be completed. No matter what comes my way, Lord, I know that I can do all things with your perfect strength. Amen. Amen. And I just pray, Jesus, you do your work in all of our lives today. Okay, I'm going to ask you a question. Are you ready? The question is like, who's in control? Okay, I'm going to show you three slides, okay, three pictures, right? Who's in control? Most of you are saying the dog, right? I can hear you online too. The dog or the lady? Yeah, I think I agree with you. Likely the dog. So I have a dog that we walk. Sometimes it looks like that. So I think we agree the dog's in control. Okay, how about this next one? Yeah, who's in control? Cat? Mouse? Who's playing the cat and mouse game here, right? I have a mole digging up my backyard, and I'm praying Holy Spirit power over the neighborhood cat. We'll be victorious over the mole. Okay. All right. Or at least chase it away. Okay. All right. All right. The next one. Okay. Who's in control? Well, this one right here. I knew you were going to say that. Oh, like, is it the cat or the dog? How many vote cat? I know. And some of you are cat haters. Jesus just forgive you. Okay. Cat haters, dog. Okay. Like, I have a cat and a dog, and actually they are pretty affectionate towards one another. Well, at least a cat towards a dog. Okay, so, and the list could go on. We could show you all kinds of photos, like, and ask the same question. Who's in control? And for many, that answer is obvious. For others, not so obvious. I want to talk about that today within a biblical context of who's in control. And so today, we prayed that prayer. For some, fear is in control, and it's kind of dictating our reaction and our action in our life. For some of us, worry, those types of things are in control. Maybe they're pulling us along. In the book of Acts, we're going to be in 2 Peter in just a few moments, but in the book of Acts, a riot has broken out in Ephesus. Now, you know that riots are not new today, right? So a riot has broken out in Ephesus, and here's what's happening. A silversmith named Demetrius gathered all these people who worked in this trade of making idols, and he's telling them, this guy named Paul, right, he's going around teaching, are you ready, that idols made with hands are not gods. And we go like, duh. And Demetrius is going on, because he's teaching this, there is a danger that our trade may come in disrepute or may be gone. So I ask you, what's in control here, right? Pretty obvious. Like, you know, this guy's teaching the truth, and our trade is in jeopardy, like, you know, what brings us income. And this great goddess Artemis may not be worshipped. Artemis, a false god. And when they heard this from Demetrius, from this guy, this idol maker, the crowd was enraged, and they began to cry out, great is Artemis of the Ephesians. Great is Artemis. And so, as a result of what was going on, the city was filled with confusion, and they rushed into the theater, and they grabbed a couple of Paul's companions. And in verse number 32 of chapter 19, it says this. Now, some cried out one thing and some another, for the assembly was in confusion, and most of them did not know why they had come together. Can you just imagine the scene? Can you visualize the scene? And some of us are going, yeah, I think that maybe we might even see that today, you know, with what's going on. But my question then is, in this case, in Acts chapter 19, who or what's in control? Who or what's in control? Was it the drive for money and wealth? Because, you know, our trade is going to be taken away, right? This guy keeps preaching that these idols are false. Our trade is going to be taken. So was it the drive for money and wealth? Was it a power grab, maybe by this guy named Demetrius, you know, right? The silversmith, the shrine maker, the idol maker. Was it a power grab because he had certain power as a result of his trade or his business? Was it a false god named Artemis, you know? What's in control? Who's in control? Or maybe you might even go like, hey, I got this idea, right? We could probably make a long, long list of what was happening in that day. But clearly, something was in control. Truth be told, likely all of these things were a part. Truth be told, people were drawn to ungodly leaders. And truth be told, there are influences in the world today that seek to do the same thing, to control and to lead us away from the truth. So you have your Bibles. Go to 2 Peter chapter 2, and we're going to begin with verse number 1. You have your Bible app, YouVersion app, whatever it is that you use or your Bible. Let's go there. 2 Peter chapter 2, beginning with verse number 1. Here we go. It's going to come up on the screen too. But false prophets also rose among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, bringing upon themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their sensuality, and because of them, the way of truth will be blasphemed. And then their what? Do you know greed can control? Yes. In their greed, they will exploit you with false words. Their condemnation from long ago is not idle, and their destruction is not asleep. What is Peter saying here? He's saying this, that Satan's counterfeits, along with their insidious activities, are always present. Their false teaching that denies the truth, small t, will seek to pull us away from the truth, big T. Their teaching that they project as truth actually denies the truth, the one who is truth. It pulls you away. It controls you. It seeks to pull you away from the one who is truth. Satan's counterfeits. Peter calls these people. And you can just imagine Peter. Josiah did a really good job last week of kind of describing Peter. And if you know Peter, you can kind of understand. He says, these are irrational animals. Now, I'm not suggesting that you go out and you call people irrational animals. I'm just telling you, it's what Peter does. Who have an insatiable desire for sin. And are you ready? And here's what they do. They entice unsteady souls. Unsteady souls. People who are not equipped, people who are weak. They entice unsteady souls. In fact, that word unsteady means weak. People not grounded. People who get tossed to and fro. Have you ever played that game? I played with Natalie, our drummer, here just earlier, out in the lobby, where you stand kind of like, I guess, you know, today it's a little bit different. But anyway, where you slap someone's hands, you try to get them to, like, knock them off balance, right? I don't know what the game's called, but you know what I mean? So you stand kind of face to face, you know, and then you slap each other's hands, and you try to push that person off, you know, off balance. That's the game. The person is weaker, or they're unsteady in their stance, so they kind of lose balance. See, this word unsteady speaks to the tendency to change and to waver in one's views, because you're kind of unsteady to be pulled away. This is what Peter is talking about. You're being pulled away. You're being controlled by these things. The unstable are those who have no foundation. Paul in Ephesians speaks to maturity in Christ. Here it is. So that they may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves that control you and carried by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness in deceitful schemes. Not allowing every wind of doctrine to control you, to pull you away from the truth of who Jesus is, from God himself. Jesus, speaking on the Sermon on the Mount, his most famous sermon, talks about this thing of being unsteady. You know, he talks about building on the sand, right? You build on the sand, or if your foundation is a sand, guess what's going to happen? It's going to disappear. He calls us to build on the rock, Jesus Christ, on the firm foundation, who is Jesus. Peter, speaking forcefully and straightforward, says this, verse number 19, here's what they do. They promise freedom, but they themselves are slaves of corruption. For whatever overcomes a person, to that he is enslaved. And I want to sit on that little part of that verse for a few moments this morning. They promise freedom, but they themselves are slaves of corruption. For whatever overcomes a person, to that he is enslaved. So if you're a person who you circle, you mark, you underline that phrase. For whatsoever overcomes a person, to that he is enslaved. You see, the techniques of false teachers are only workable with the naive or those who do not have a firm foundation, who lack biblical truth, who lack a biblical foundation. They promise freedom, but are themselves hopelessly enslaved by depravity. They're morally corrupt. They're empty and boastful promises of liberty are a reminder, if you go back to Genesis, the first book in the Bible, of the Satan's words to Eve, right? Hey, you'll be like God. And the enemy pulled her away from the truth with that promise, that empty promise that you'll be like God. Someone said it this way, slavery is not merely chattel ownership, but is the mastery of one's will by any person, idea, or substance. Think about it. Slavery, being enslaved to something, is not just ownership, it's mastery of one's will by any person, idea, or substance. And what's happening is people all around are enslaved. Their actions, their thoughts, and their life are controlled by something other than the Bible. There's something going on, something that's pulling them along, something that's controlling. And we are warned about this, these false teachers, this false teaching. In fact, Peter in his first book, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, that's a verse that some have memorized or you've heard a Bible story about it. He says this, be sober-minded, be watchful. What's he say? Your adversary, the devil, does what? He's prowling around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. So he is out there. He's doing everything he can to pull us away from the truth of who Jesus is, who God is himself. There's false teaching out there. There are false ideas. There are false thoughts that people are putting forward, and they're seeking to control. Lest we are grounded in the Bible, in God's word, we find ourselves being drawn away from who the truth is. This is why I continually teach. You have to be in the Bible. You have to let the Spirit teach you and lead you and guide you. I want to share with you two thoughts this morning, what sometimes called the big ideas for you to take away. And you might even want to write them down. Number one, what consumes you controls you. Think about it. What consumes you controls you. If you are consumed with the thoughts and with the teaching of things not biblical, you will be ultimately controlled by those things. But the reverse is also true. If you're consumed by God's word, Spirit lives in you, you will be controlled by those things. What consumes you controls you. Secondly, what you feed grows. What you feed, someone's going like, yeah, I know. What you feed grows. What consumes you controls you. What you feed grows. I shared it in devotion in my email some time ago that I have to mow my lawn like 2 to 3 times a week. And the reason is, and you're going to like, well, that's really stupid. Don't do that. But whatever. So because I feed my lawn. And when you feed grass, what's it do? It grows. I just fed it last night, so I got the mow 2 to 3 times a week. It just starts growing, and you water it, right? What you feed grows. Some of us are controlled by worry because we're feeding worry. Some of us are controlled by anger because we feed anger. Some of us are controlled by fear because we feed fear. What consumes you controls you. What you feed grows. If you feed bitterness and are consumed with bitterness, bitterness will grow and it will control you. If you feed worry and are consumed with worry, worry will grow and control you. If you feed discontent and are consumed with discontent, you will forever allow your circumstances to control you. If you feed addiction of any kind, you will be consumed with that addiction, and it will grow and control you. And so what I want to do is kind of take 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 19, and just kind of open up the lens just a little bit. We know that there's false teaching out there. There's false prophets out there that seek to control us, not with the truth, big T, but their version of truth. There are other things in life that overcome us, that can overcome us, and enslave us. And the list is longer than what I just shared. And what happens when these things control us, we're not living in the freedom of Christ. We're not living in that freedom. John chapter 8, verse 34 to 36 says this, Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin." Now, let me sit there for just everyone who practices sin. Everyone who's involved in this. Now, does temptation come your way? Oh, of course it does. Yeah, my way too. Do we stumble? Do we fail? Do we sin? Yeah, well, of course we do. Yeah, of course we do. The one who practices sin, who lives in sin, is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever. Are you ready? So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Great place to say amen. Great place to be consumed with the thought and the knowledge that the son sets us free and we are to live in freedom. The reality of our freedom lies in our relationship with Christ, the one who has made us free. And we must live and be biblical followers of Jesus. Now, I want to share with you some practical applications here. Some practical steps as people who have been set free that I think will help us in this journey. Proverbs, the wisdom book, right? Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7. "For as he thinketh," and I'm reading it from the King James Version because I just love the poetry of this version. "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee." I'll more read it again. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. What consumes you? Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee. The wisdom of this proverb speaks to this important truth, right? What you think about and the desire of your heart form the reality of the person you are. What you think about and the desire of your heart form the reality of the person who you are. What controls you? What you feed on, what you think about, what the desire of your heart is, they form the reality of the person who you are. That's why the Bible is so clear. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, consume these things, right? Think about these things. Let these things be a part of your life. Let them direct and be the person that you are. What if we allowed that passage and that verse to so control us that it was the filter that we lived our everyday life through? What if it was a filter that all of our conversations pass through? Whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, pure, lovely, commendable. What if my social media posts were through that filter? Do you think that might change? What if this is what I consume? As your thinking changes, so will your actions. As we think about, as we consume the things of the Lord, so our actions will become more Christ-like, will become more biblical. My friend George Holloway is teaching a series called Rules of Engagement. And this past week, he posted just an excerpt from one of the messages. Now, I just believe that it really kind of speaks to what we're talking about this morning, kind of changing, don't being controlled by all the stuff that's going on. And he says this, what if we stop looking at people and thinking this? I have a slide for you coming up right here. So, what if we stop thinking about people? Next slide. There we are. And thinking, that's the person I don't like. Now, they may have harmed you. And they may have done wrong to you. They may have offended. Well, what if we stop going like that? We stop thinking, right? That's a person I don't like. That's a person I disagree with politically. I bet you can think of one. Okay. That's a person who lives differently than me. That's a person who annoys me. Oh, gosh. I should keep on moving, shouldn't I? That's a person who has done things I would never do. What if we stop looking at people and thinking that? And what if we kind of change that? What if we're not controlled by that, but we're controlled by something different? What if we do this? That's the person that God loves. That's the person who needs hope. That's the person who, like me, needs Jesus' love. What if we do that? What consumes you controls you. What you feed grows. This is the pathway to being a biblical Christian, I believe, a biblical follower of Jesus, letting his word consume us and control every action, every part of my life, my thought life, who I am. Well, what about habits that are not God-honoring? We're not going to go around there. I'm not going to ask you, go like, what habits you have that's not God-honoring? What about those things that consume us and ultimately control us that are not pleasing to the Lord? I'm not going to make a list. I'd be adding my stuff to the list. So would you. What if instead of a long list, what if we just pause and just allow the Spirit of God to talk to us for a moment? What if he says to you, what if he says to me, that attitude towards that other person you keep thinking about and you keep feeding, that's controlling you. That's stopping you from being the person I really designed you to be. And you need to be free from that. What if it's that? You see, so often here's what we do. We go to the big sins, don't we? Because we like to talk about the big sins. So pornography, right? Well, it's certainly controlling, certainly wrong. We like to talk about, addictions like alcohol and drugs and all of those things. But what about the other things that can sneak into our life and actually overtake us and really enslave us? What might the Spirit of God touch on in your life that is displeasing to the Lord, keeps you away from the freedom in Christ? Look, you're a follower of Jesus. You're a believer. If the Son sets you free, you're free indeed. The Spirit empowers us to live in freedom. The Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. I remember when my sister, years ago, was walking on a dock, and I asked her, she remembered this the other day. I remember it so clearly because her young son, who I think was 3 or 4, something like that, just cautioned her, said, be careful because the Holy Ghost will get you. And here's the problem. Here's what we do. Here's what we think about. We'll talk about the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. We think of some ghost out there floating around. That's not who the Spirit of God is. The Spirit is God. He's a divine person who comes along, who leads you, and who guides you into all truth. That's who he is. The Spirit of God empowers us to live in freedom. He walks beside you. He walks beside me. Romans chapter 6, verse 16 says, do you not know that if you present yourself to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin, which leads to death already, or obedience, which leads to righteousness. The Spirit of God, divine person, God himself, walks alongside us and empowers us to live obediently to him. The Spirit of God partners with us. He empowers us. The reality is this, some of you here and online, you're chasing hard after God, but something is consuming you and you feel like you just can't stop feeding this thing. And you're trapped. Look, you're a believer. I want to say that. You're a follower. You're a believer. The enemy is going to come along and he's going to say this. Look, you did that again. You can't break that now. So you are a follower. Some of us are caught, but I believe there's freedom. Well, I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing. Let me give you a little illustration as we kind of head towards wrapping up here. More than 3 weeks in Minnesota. I actually moved my office there. I've mentioned that before, helping a family member who was dealing with a health issue. And I was missing Jen so bad. Jen is my wife. And so, when that happens, you promise a lot of things. And she's on the phone to me, and she says, do you think that when you get back, we could build a new fence? And I said, well, yeah, sure, of course we can. I should have stopped and just thought for just a moment, right? But I was consumed with missing her so bad. I just oh, yeah. And it's a good thing she didn't keep on going on because I would have promised everything. Well, we got back. Of course, I had to fulfill the promise, right? Because I'm a godly man, Anyway, so this fence, so I was looking at it yesterday. It's complete. It's done. Yay for me. Thank you. Okay. Yeah, I appreciate that. And I was looking at that fence last night. I go, you know what? We did that together. We did it together. And, it just goes along one side of my property. I don't know. We don't have a large place. So it's 100 feet of fence. But I looked at, you know, I said, you know, we did pretty good there, didn't we? And it's kind of amazing how fast it went. But you know what? It just went one section at a time. It was just the next step. It was kind of the next day. It was the next couple hours. And then it finally was finished. It's an illustration of something I want to share with you. Some of us who are struggling. Sidlow Baxter said this, like, in your life, don't try to live a holy life. Live a holy minute. And 60 of them make a holy hour. Some are looking at, look, I'm controlled by this thing, whatever it is. I don't care if it's an attitude or it's an addiction. And I just can't break it. And you're looking at the complete fence or the complete whatever or project that you have. I love this. Step back. Don't try to live a holy life. Just live a holy minute. 60 of them make a holy hour. And guess what? 24 of those make a holy day. And I believe as we walk in obedience to Him, as the Spirit of God enables us, we'll be controlled by the Spirit. And we will live lives that will draw people, not to any person, not to any church, but to Jesus. I believe that as we walk in freedom. I want to offer you a help, a guide. So some of you will text LIST to that same number that we use all the time, 360-209-8040. It will come up again on the screen. Can we bring up that number? 360-209-8040. And if you just type the keyword LIST, what you will receive back is just a short list of helps in this area of things that control us. There's Gateway Counseling, Mission House, and a few other things there. I asked Mario to put that together for us. And so the keyword is LIST. And so you might want to text LIST and have that so you can help somebody maybe that you're in a relationship with. Or you might want to say, look, I just need to take another step. Because I do believe that as the Spirit enables us, we do life, we're in relationship with God, and then we're in relationship with one another. And so we journey through this life together, and there's help as together we go to the Lord and allow Him to lead us. What consumes you controls you. What you feed grows. So what are you going to feed this week? What are you going to, just think about it. What are you going to feed this week? For some, maybe you'll start your Bible reading plan. Don't get discouraged. I get it. Don't get discouraged. Feed from the Word of God. Start. And if you miss a day, just start again. The enemy will come along and go like, hey, you screwed up, didn't you? And you know what you say when that happens? Yes, I did. Now, we'll just start again, right? Because God's not someone who condemns us. We live in freedom. And that's what this is all about right here. And so I'm going to just invite you, if you're home, grab something. They're symbols, right? So you're going to grab a piece of bread or cup of water, cup of coffee, whatever. And then for those of us here, we have these little onesies, we call them, right? They're symbols of freedom, the victory that we've been talking about. So we're going to take the piece of bread in just a moment. It represents His broken body so that we might be made whole in every way, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. We give our brokenness to Him. And what's He do? He brings healing. And that brokenness involves some of these areas maybe that we're controlled with. So we give those to Him, say, Jesus, bring healing into this area in my life, whatever that might be. Your body was broken that we might be made whole in every way. And then we're going to take the cup together, right? Our victory. You know, every day I live, I'm just reminded, well, almost every day, that this life is pretty short, right? This life is pretty short compared to eternity. But this cup represents our eternity with Jesus. His sacrifice so that we could live in freedom and we could live in eternity with him. So let's take the bread together, shall we? And Jesus, we receive healing now in Jesus' name. We recognize your body was broken, that we could be made whole in every way. We walk in freedom today. Thank you for your shed blood. Thank you for the victory. Thank you for brand new life. Thank you for eternal life in Jesus' name. Let's take the cup together. Thank you, Father.